Well, if you like to cook in the out-of-doors and grill, if you sear your fish or tenderize your beef or broil your veggies and bathe your brats, swap your chops, this cookbook that we'll be talking about next is a great one for you. It brings out a unique depth to your food and grilling experience. The book is titled Grilling with Beer, Base Marinade Sauces, Mops, Marinades, and More Made with Craft Beer. Lucy Saunders of Shorewood, Wisconsin is the author. She edits the website beercook.com, and she thinks of beer as food. And her first book was Cooking with Beer. It came out in 1996, and her new book, again, is titled Grilling with Beer. It's a compendium of more than 100 recipes extolling the virtues of craft beers. And if you have some questions or comments for her as we move along about cooking with beer, grilling with beer, we hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Or maybe you've got a recipe of your own that involves grilling with a craft beer and want to share that with us, or at least talk a little bit about it and why you like it. We'd love to hear from you about that as well. 1-800-642-1234. Lucy Saunders with us by phone. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Larry. Thanks so much for having me on, and thanks to Jim Packard, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure to have you with us. And you have quite a bit of experience, not only with beer, but just in general. You have a lot of training in the cooking area.
Yes, actually, I have a degree in English literature, but then I went on and studied baking and pastry and also apprenticed in different pubs and restaurants, and consider myself an experienced home cook and lucky to work with some amazing chefs to pull together the cookbook, Grilling with Beer. A lot of the recipes are mine, but there's also some contributions from many talented chefs, including some folks from Wisconsin, which makes the book, I think, even more of a richer effort because, you know, there's so many flavors represented.
And you have some great little stories about some of the events that are held around the country in sort of in celebration of grilling and beer.
Yes. You know, when I put together the cookbook, I thought it would be fun to show what a community it is because there are barbecue festivals that showcase beer, such as the one in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, that's actually part of the Kansas City Barbecue Society. And there are also beer events that just happen to include barbecue, such as the cookout at the Liney Lodge that was organized at the family reunion that they have there back in June. So it's a real smorgasbord of different experiences that bring together grilled food, barbecued food, and, of course, craft beer, which I think is just the superior beverage of choice to go with grilled food.
And how do you define craft beer?
Well, craft beer is something that the Brewers Association out of Boulder, Colorado, recently issued a definition for. The definition is that a craft brewer is small. They typically produce less than 2 million barrels of beer in a year. Then there are also using traditional ingredients such as, you know, real grain, barley malt, yeast, water, and hops, you know, pretty much sticking to the Rheinheitsgebot. And then also they are, basically showcasing regional styles in some instances. So they're independent and family-owned, which is one of the other big advantages that we have in Wisconsin. There are lots of independent and family-owned craft breweries here. Last count, I believe there are 79 active breweries, which includes brew pubs in the state. So Wisconsin's really lucky.
Yeah, we are very lucky. How'd you get interested in beer?
I love the taste of beer.
Yeah, I do too. But you took it a step further.
Yeah, I tend to do that with things that I'm really passionate about. I really dive into it, and it's been a fun exploration. In fact, my interest in craft beer really coincided with the growth of brew pubs and the craft brewing industry. One of the first food and beverage pairing stories that I ever wrote was for a magazine about a brand new brew pub then, which is called Gordon Biersch, and they're out of Colorado, and they're one of the bigger chains now. So it's I've been covering the industry for a long time,
and
talking to people along the way. It's a wonderful community to be part of.
Well, it's I think a lot of people will, for example, here in Wisconsin with bratwurst, will throw some brats in some beer and cook it that way. But I'm not so sure that we've had a much of a tradition of cooking with beer. Or am I mistaken?
Well, actually, Larry, Wisconsin led the pack out of the states that entered a cooking competition sponsored by the National Beer Wholesalers Association last year. It was called the Cooking with Beer Challenge, and that out of the recipes that were sent in from all across the United States, Wisconsin was tops in terms of number of people submitting recipes. I think the Northern European heritage of a lot of the people who originally settled the state lends itself to cooking with beer. Beer is certainly part of the culinary traditions in places like Belgium and to a certain extent in Scandinavia, as well as Britain and Germany. So I think you'll find that most everybody has a family recipe that uses beer in some way, whether it's a Wisconsin cheese and beer soup or a Welsh rarebit or, as you mentioned, brats and beer. In fact, that whole chapter that I wrote about bratwurst and beer came out of a phone-in caller from your show, Larry. My last cookbook, Cooking with Beer, didn't have a recipe for bratwurst cooked in beer. And we had somebody call in and say, how come there's not a recipe for bratwurst cooked in beer? And I said, well, it's because it's so easy. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, you've got some pretty interesting recipes when it comes to brats and beer.
Yeah, I everything from the toppers like beer mustard that you can make yourself or grilled beer onions to amber ale brats with onion and sauerkraut where you actually add a little sauerkraut to that mixture along with some apple and fennel seed, which I think is a great ingredient.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and as we think about craft beers, I guess craft beer making actually itself goes back a long ways.
Yes, the brewing process itself is, millennia old. I mean, beer itself is,
thousands of years.
Yes, it's one of the arbiters of a civilization, and Wisconsin's lucky because we have some of the oldest operating breweries in the United States here with protected in our state. I mean, for example, the Stevens Point Brewery is celebrating its 150th year this year.
Yeah.
So that's pretty phenomenal. I think Miller Brewing Company, which is now a division of SAB, had its anniversary 150th 2 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we look at the beers, the flavors and aromas of craft beers, what are the flavors and aromas that are most often found in craft beers?
Well, there's actually a huge range, and that's one of the things that makes craft beer such a versatile beverage to both cook with and pair with grilled foods. You've got the caramel flavors that come from the roasted barley malts. You've got some of the citrusy flavors that come from the hops, and then all of the fermented flavors that come from the different styles of yeast that are used to actually ferment the beer. And so those fermentation flavors can range from sort of fruity, like apple or pear, to spicy, like clove or even cinnamon. So there's a huge range of actual flavors that you can get out of tasting a beer. The biggest issue for most people is that beer is served too cold in a lot of places. So actually having your beer be just a little bit cooler than room temperature works well for getting the maximum flavor and aromatics out of it. But I think that's difficult to find in a lot of restaurants and taverns.
Yeah, it certainly is. Mm-hmm. And then when you're cooking at home and grilling at home, pairing up the beers with the food that you prepare with appropriate beer is something you talk about as well in your book.
Yes, I do, and I actually tapped some other experts as well. Stan Hieronymus, who has a blog called AppalachianBeer.com. We talk a lot about the philosophies of matching beer and food and using beers in cooking. He's also written a book, a brewpub cookbook. I guess, I like to think of it as an accent flavor. and mm-hmm. build the seasonings around it. And you definitely want to start with a beer that you like the flavor of it, because if you don't like the flavor to begin with, you won't like it in the finished dish. So, that's your first rule of thumb. Start with a beer you like. And the next is start with a beer that's in good condition.
And with that, we'll take that a little step further after we take a look at the news, Lucy. We'll be back with Lucy Saunders in just a few minutes. Stay with us. Glad to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about grilling with beer now. That's the title of a book written by Lucy Saunders of Shorewood, Wisconsin. She edits the website bettercook.com, thinks of beer as a food, and I tell you what, she's got a wonderful cookbook here. I'm enjoying looking through it, and my mouth was watering, as a matter of fact, over our little news break as I looked at Beer Bistro Apple Ale Ribs. There's a great photograph of the ribs there. And the chipotle, the grilled duck with chipotle peach sauce, that's got me going too. Maybe you have a question or comment for her as we move along here. You're most welcome to join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. And you know, Lucy, one of the things I like about your books, you have some great photographs of the food to go along with it. And I've always kind of liked photographs with the recipes.
I think that makes a huge difference because people get a sense for what the food should look like, and it really helps build along the appetite. Those Beer Bistro Apple Ale Ribs really are mouthwatering.
Oh,
yeah.
They sound and look just great.
And that apple ale concept is something that a lot of people aren't too familiar with, but actually the New Glarus Brewing Company was one of the first to make an apple ale. It's no longer in their current rotation for production, but maybe when they finish their new brewery, they'll bring it back. In the meantime, there are a couple of other breweries in the state that make a version of a beer flavored with apple. Another one is the South Shore Brewery up in Ashland. And for people who can't get their hands on an apple ale, you can also use hard cider. There are a number of places that make wonderful ciders in Wisconsin, so that's another option as well for braising the ribs till they're really just meltingly tender and then finishing them with a spice rub on the grill so the exterior gets nice and crispy.
I'm hungry.
Good. That's the plan.
Don in Warren, Illinois, your turn. Hi, Don. Thank you for calling.
Hi. A little beer history here. There was an article recently in Smithsonian Magazine, and it touched on the mini ice age. And it started, I think they said, about 1335 and ended about 1805 or along in there. Anyway, they said that because it was so cold, especially in the somewhat northern climates, Germany and the upper European areas, they couldn't grow grapes. So they grew grain and made an alcoholic beverage out of that. So it was a substitute for the fact that they couldn't get wine, which goes back to biblical days and far beyond. But it was interesting to see how that evolved.
Yeah, that is interesting. Lucy, comment?
The first records of brewing were part of Sumerian culture, and so that there's a really ancient tradition of using grain to make fermented beverages. And I think you're right that the northern climates not only grew grain, but they also had the advantage of being able to harvest ice to store and age their beers. In northern Europe, that whole concept of lagering a beer actually means cold aging it, and that was one of the big assets for Wisconsin in the early days of craft brewing, was the great number of lakes from which big blocks of ice could be harvested. So thanks for the historical tip.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call very much. If you'd like to join in, by the way, if you had a question about beer or cooking, grilling with beer, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We'll get you on the air pretty quickly. Your first five chapters cover You have 10 chapters, if I remember, and five of them, the first five cover sauces and rubs, marinades, things like that.
Right. I kind of felt like the first half of the book would be devoted to the classic barbecue accompaniments, which are, you know, barbecue sauces, marinades, glazes, spice rubs that you can use on a wide variety of, whether it's chicken, fish, pork, or beef, whatever you want to be cooking for dinner that night. There's a lot of variety in the uses for those particular sauces and marinades and those recipes. Then the second half of the book really hones in on specific ingredients like chicken, seafood, and also some salads and side dishes.
And burgers.
Yes, absolutely. There's a whole chapter with burgers, chops, and steaks where the marinade actually uses beer. And one of the really easy ones is a red-eye ribeye steak, which uses a dark lager. You could use something like the Lakefront Brewery's East Side Dark, and then minced garlic, red onion, hot pepper sauce, and here's the surprise, a little bit of grapefruit juice, along with molasses, brown mustard, olive oil, and, of course, your ribeye steaks. The grapefruit juice was chosen because I like the taste of grapefruit with hops. I think there's a natural affinity for citrus flavors with hops, but lemon is used so much, and I thought, why not just, you know, expand the spectrum of citrus there? So grapefruit it is, and it's, even with the hot pepper sauce, it's not too spicy when the steaks come off the grill.
Boy, it sounds great.
Well, good.
Marty in Lake Nabagamon, your turn. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good afternoon. Well, I'm sure you've heard the quote from Ben Franklin that beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Can you share your recipe for grilled onions in beer?
Yes, it's a really simple recipe. What I like to do is actually slice the onions pretty thick, about a third of an inch thick, and drizzle them with a little bit of olive oil or canola oil, and grill them on the grill with just the oil at first to keep them from sticking, and then finish them in a skillet, either on a side burner or on the hot spot on the grill, along with some celery seeds. 1 teaspoon celery seeds, a tablespoon of brown mustard seeds, some dry powdered mustard to taste, just a little bit of sugar, and then brown ale or rauch beer, which is a smoked beer, and that adds a really nice flavor. And then I also add just a little bit of cornstarch to that to thicken it up and so that the beer sauce clings to the onions when you put it on your burgers. And the nice thing about having beer onions is that that's a great way to add the taste of beer when you've got a cookout where there's many ages of people being served, and some people are going to want it, some people you don't want them to be having the beer, so you put it in the onions as a side dish, and it's strictly optional, and I like that recipe a lot. It also improves, you can make it ahead of time and then reheat it if you've got a big crowd of people coming.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. Thanks so much for calling. Boy, as you described that, I've got to get home and get out the onions.
Onions are wonderful with beer. I think they're, every member of the Allium family goes really well.
Well, I tell you, and you mentioned a couple different types of brands of beer, and you don't really, in your book, you don't specify a particular brand of beer over another. You go more for the style.
Exactly. And I'm talking about Wisconsin beers today because of our listening audience, but I also feel very strongly that it's more important to hone in on the style of beer and then choose a brand that's available that you also happen to like personally. There's a huge range of flavors possible within the style category of, say, an American IPA, which is the abbreviation for India Pale Ale. And there's a huge range of flavors of American IPAs that are out there on the market right now. There's easily more than 150 American IPAs available just in our region. And to be able to, you know, describe the flavor characteristics of each brand, and then the fact that each brand can, the flavors can change depending on how it's handled, I mean, at retail. So that makes a huge difference. So you want to make sure that you find the beer that you like I said before, and one that's in good condition that tastes fresh, and then use that as your guide.
And in most cases, the beer should be fresh.
Yes, I prefer fresh beer. Most people do. There are some wonderful exceptions.
I was thinking of something in your book. You talk about some exceptions to that.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some vintage beers out there, some barley wines that are strong enough that can be actually aged for several years very successfully. And that's a great thing to have in terms of pairing with food. I tend to use the vintage beers pretty sparingly in recipes because I think those fermentation flavors are so lovely to sample by the glass.
Yeah. Well, let's take some more calls. By the way, again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Let's go to Donna in Belleville next. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Donna. Hi. I almost said my own name.
No, it's all right.
I've never called into the radio before.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm glad you called. What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering if your lady with the cookbook has the recipe for the drunken chicken, which we make all the time, and if she had heard of it.
Yeah, are you talking about the beer can chicken where you've or the bird on the throne, as you like to say?
Yes. Only know it as drunken chicken.
Yes, where
you make it on the beer can?
Yes, and you can make it on the beer can, and there's lots of appliances out there now where people can, put it on a stainless steel roasting roost, and basically as the liquid bubbles up into the cavity of the chicken, you get a combination of steaming the interior while crisping the exterior while grilling, so you wind up with a bird that's really juicy and flavorful.
Oh, yes.
It's a really great combination, and there is a recipe in my cookbook, but it's from a woman, Terry Werthner, who specializes in Cajun cooking, so it uses a Cajun spice rub.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, mine has a spice rub, and you marinate it, and it needs to be done on charcoal with apple chips.
Yes.
Apple or mesquite chips.
Ooh.
So it ends up, we all love it.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so you have that.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks a lot for calling. Ooh, yeah. Apple chips, applewood chips. Jesse and Menasha, hi to you.
Hello. I'm calling to ask her a question on if she's ever tried the Chimay Belgian Ale. There's three different kinds. I believe there's the regular, there's a white label, and then there's the red label, the reserve, and the Grand Premier, I believe it is.
Yeah, the Grand Cru. Those are wonderful. The Chimay beers, I actually was lucky enough to visit Chimay when I was in Belgium about 10 years ago, and the monks do a great job. It's an absolutely enormous brewery, and beer is a big part of the monastic tradition in terms of hospitality. When pilgrims wandered from monastery to monastery, it was common to offer some kind of refreshment, and beer was certainly one of them. The Chimay beers are famous because they have a very rich malt character in addition to the very classic fermentation flavors that they get from their proprietary ale yeast. And that's the reason why it's called liquid bread sometimes.
Oh. I called to just maybe get the word out. People need to try this beer and pour it into wide mouth goblet and let it breathe a little. I mean, it's fantastic. I lived in Sonoma Valley for like 2 months. Didn't know if I was going to move out there or not. But one of the guys at a local pub introduced me to it, and I love it.
That's great. And you know what's nice is that a lot of Wisconsin craft breweries are experimenting with Belgian ale styles now themselves. So you can get some of those similar flavors on draft at certain places. So it's really worth seeking out. There are two websites that profile a lot of beer destinations, and one of them is called beeradvocate.com.
Okay.
And the other is called ratebeer.com.
R-A-T-E-B-E-R,
and then beeradvocate.com, B-E-E-R-A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E.
Thank you.
I have links on my website, which is beercook.com, to those places. And you can find beer destinations and get recommendations that way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. In addition, you know, I'm going to be teaching a cooking class at the Milwaukee Public Market on August 7th. And I'm going to be featuring a Belgian ale marinated grilled eggplant.
Oh.
Oh, great, because I'm vegetarian. Oh, super. Well, I've got family who lives there. I'll have to call them up and see if I can visit and bring her along, too. We're all foodies in our family.
That's great. Well, that's at MilwaukeePublicMarket.org.
Oh, I've been there. It's beautiful. I'll look it up today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much for calling, Jesse. Appreciate it. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. On to Cole in Chilton next. Hi, Cole. Cole, are you there? Oh, we might have lost Cole. I think Cole's question had to do with apple cider and whether or not you've ever cooked with apple cider, Lucy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a wonderful addition to marinades. You know, a lot of the classic barbecue sauces, too, will use cider vinegar. And sometimes I don't like the harsh acetic flavor that you get from that. So I'll use apple cider instead.
And the sparkling ciders, apple mm-hmm. ciders, I love those.
Mm-hmm. They are. In fact, there's a wonderful tradition of mixology where you can mix an amber ale with a sparkling cider and come up with something that's really kind of refreshing and light.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, if you're going to pick a great recipe, well, a favorite recipe from your book, these are probably all favorites that you have in your book.
They are all favorites, and I really, like to offer people a wide choice. One that's really easy, though, that doesn't have too many ingredients is Hops and Herbs chicken sandwiches, where you basically take a nice hoppy pale ale and mix in lemon juice, some fresh marjoram, basil, and oregano, and a minced green onion, and a little bit of grated horseradish.
Mm.
And that's the marinade, along with a little bit of olive oil. And you add chicken and let that marinate, and put that on the grill, and then you can use boneless, skinless chicken breasts or boneless, skinless chicken legs, and then chop the mixture and add some fresh herbs to that as well, maybe a little extra horseradish, and serve those on hard rolls. It's a really easy recipe.
Sounds good to me. John in Winona, Minnesota, we go to you next. Hi, John.
Hi. Say, my wife and I, in the last 10 years, have been making a lot of homemade sausage. We make Polish sausage, bratwurst, summer sausage, and that type of thing. And what we've been playing with lately is, now this is a venison sausage for the most part. We use beer instead of water to cut the sausage. And we found that it actually seems to help with the fat content and keeping the sausage a little bit leaner.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's just enough malt in the beer versus plain water that you're getting some of the sugars that help to basically emulsify your sausage mixture. I mean, typically you add frozen water, ice to a sausage as you're blending it to keep the temperature cold. But if you add frozen beer instead, you'll get a nice beer flavor as you're making up the sausage. So that I've done that as well.
We had to laugh the first time our daughter saw us doing this. Now, mind you, she's about 16 at the time. We open a beer and just dumping these beer into the sausage. She's like, oh, my God, we're wasting the beer.
It's not a waste if you're going to eat it.
No, it's not a waste at all. Oh, John, thank you very much for calling. appreciate your call very much. What about, let's talk about another sauce recipe. Have you got a good sauce recipe you can share with us?
Yeah, there's a couple of good sauce recipes that, again, I think are pretty accessible and, very easy. For example, there's a bourbon Bock barbecue sauce. You know, Wisconsin and the upper Midwest, mm-hmm. I'm including like August Shell Brewing Company from Minnesota. They make some wonderful Bock beers. And so this one uses a lot of minced garlic, a quarter cup minced garlic, and a half a cup of minced peeled apple, and two minced jalapeno peppers.
Mm.
And you basically saute that mixture in a quarter cup of butter, add a bottle of Bock lager, and then doctor it with a little bit of bourbon and maybe 3 or 4 ounces of tomato paste, and let that thicken up in the simmering on the stovetop, and you can puree it and then use that on ribs, chicken, pork tenderloin, beef loins. It's a really great versatile barbecue sauce.
Oh, it sounds.
It's the Bourbon Bock barbecue sauce on page 35.
All right.
And by the way, the book is $21.95. It's a self-published book, and you can get it at grillingwithbeer.com and also some of the brewery gift shops around the state. It's really more about beer than it is about anything else with all the stories. So I do try and make sure that breweries have it available.
And so, and it's $21, did you say?
$21.95.
Mm-hmm. And again, go to the, what's your website again?
It's grillingwithbeer.com.
What else is on your website, by the way?
There's some free recipes, profiles of some different chefs, and also some reviews of different festivals. So there's a mixture of different things. And then the Beer Cook website has about 100 free recipes and profiles of more chefs and home cooks and different events that have taken place over the years, festivals and conferences about craft beer and food.
I tell you, the festivals are really fun to attend.
They are, and you've got a big one coming up in Madison. The Great Taste of the Midwest is one of the premier beer events, and that one is, I believe, already sold out. I think that sells out within a matter of hours.
Yeah, it sells out within a matter of minutes, and it's actually about, it's right on Lake Monona and only about, 400 yards from my house.
Oh, you're kidding, Larry. I'll wave to you.
I've attended that many a time, and it is always a lot of fun. But you have to be on your toes because the tickets go like that.
Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, Lucy, you have a wonderful book, and I want to thank you so much for being with us again. Tell us the web address again for ordering.
Yeah, it's grillingwithbeer.com.
Grilling? Yeah.
Grillingwithbeer.com. And there's also an 800 number that people can call if they're curious and, you know, would prefer to call instead of going online. And that is 800. Let's see, here's 760.
800-760-5998 to order a copy of the book.
Right.
Lucy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Get a copy of the book. I tell you what, it's a very good book with lots of great recipes, and I know you're going to find some recipes that you will love. Grillingwithbeer.com or at 800-760-5998. Lucy Saunders of Shorewood, Wisconsin. Her book is titled Grilling with Beer. Pleasure to have her with us. Coming up tomorrow on Garden Talk, we'll be visiting with Lisa Johnson, Dane County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.